Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
And once again, you got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. I'm your host, Ed Holliday, and we're in the middle of the election, the primary season of President of the United States. But last week, horror of horrors in Brussels, Belgium. ISIS bombers, suicide bombers, killed over 31 people, wounded over 250. The carnage and what's happening with ISIS spreading out from Syria and Iraq. Well, we're going to talk about that today, see what the presidential candidates had to say. And there was last week, Arizona and Utah, two big states in the Republican primary realm. We're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss where we are today between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, and who was it, the other guy in Arizona? Yeah, there's a three-man race, and he came in fourth. John Kasich. What's he doing? I mean, is George Soros funding Kasich to mess up the Republicans to get Hillary Clinton in? Is he a stooge for Soros and the Democrats and the liberals and the progressives? John Kasich, get the message, man. Get on out of here. But as we get ready for today's show, we got a lot to talk about. I got to tell you right up front, last week I said we would have Phyllis Schlafly on the show, the conservative icon, and we're going to push that into next week. Good Friday last week, got things tied up some, and Phyllis is 92 years young, and I appreciate her schedule and her time, so it didn't work out for interview last week. It will be next week. We'll get that worked out with Phyllis Schlafly, and we want to know why this conservative icon, who's been in conservative politics since the 1950s, she's seen it all through her lifetime, and she has gotten behind Donald Trump. So next week, find out why Phyllis Schlafly is supporting Donald Trump in this race. A conservative icon that's been right down what you'd call a religious right conservative, and she is behind Donald Trump and not Ted Cruz. Why? Well, listen, next week we're going to find out. Listen, we have got a lot to cover in today's show. Before we do, let me just remind you that in the midst of this crazy election for president of the United States, never have we seen anything like it in my lifetime, probably your lifetime. You go back, there's not many people around that were alive when FDR was fighting, and that wasn't a lot of fights right then during the middle of the Depression and in World War II. FDR had won four elections for president. Hey, I want to tell you right here, last week I was in Kansas City, Missouri. Now, where's that? It's next to Independence. And what's there? The Harry S. Truman Presidential Library. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that right in the middle of the show. Had some good things to say about a Democrat, all right? So I'll tell you about that in the middle of the show. But right now, let's get right with it. Let's talk about what happened first in the election last week. And then on the second half of the show, we're going to be talking, got some clips from Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and Ted Cruz, what was said about the Brussels incident. So a lot going on right there. We're going to shine a light on that. But first, let's talk about Arizona. What happened in Arizona? Donald Trump got 46% of the vote. He didn't go over to 50%. John Kasich got about 10%, and Ted Cruz about 24%. So does it mean there's you can't stop Donald Trump? Well, there's another race. It was in Utah. And as I said, if I was talking about Arizona, it is funny. Kasich got 10%, but he still got beat by Marco Rubio. And the reason is because, of course, they had early voting in Arizona. And that's the thing I don't like about early voting. And John Kasich should be very embarrassed. In a three-man race, he came in fourth. It's time to get out, John. But in Arizona, Donald Trump was unstoppable. But I know Karl Rove was talking about it. He was looking at the 50% sign. Before the election turns were coming in, as he was helping out Fox News, Karl Rove, the old brain of the George W. Bush era in getting elections won, and I know he's made a lot of enemies. He's very much the establishment. But what happened, Karl Rove was saying before the votes came in last Tuesday night with Arizona and Utah, that he was looking for the 50 and 50. What did he mean by that? He meant in Arizona, he was going to see, can Donald Trump go over 50%? And the other 50 was in Utah, can Ted Cruz go over 50%? Because in Utah, he would get all the delegates if he could get over 50%. And this is what happened. Donald Trump did not get over 50% in Arizona. He got almost. He got 46%. He's pushing it, 46, 47%, but he never got over to 50. And in Utah, what happened? Ted Cruz got, is like 67, almost 70% of the vote. Just a walloping. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute why. But he did get an unprecedented almost 70% of the vote in Utah. And so on Karl Rove, what he was talking about, he did get all the delegates. Ted Cruz got all the delegates in Utah, which would be proportional unless you got over 50%. So he really did kick some tail there in Utah. And so, and Karl Rove said, hey, Donald Trump has a Mormon problem. And what is that problem? Well, I think the Mormons are called ultra-conservatives. Hey, Doc Holliday right here. I told you, long before Donald Trump said common sense conservative, I coined that phrase a couple years ago. But I am conservative. I do think there has to be some flexibility on some things. Like Ronald Reagan said, if you can't get a whole loaf of bread, get that half a loaf and come back later for the other half or the other three-fourths. Do what you can. Be practical. And that's what a common sense conservative can do. But as we were talking about, what we're looking at was Karl Rove was looking at that 50% that Cruz got over in all the delegates of Utah, which weren't quite as many as Arizona, but still, he got all the delegates. But why does Donald Trump have a Mormon problem? Well, I think it was a couple things. One thing, Trump is just bashing Mitt Romney. I mean, really has bashed Mitt Romney. And, of course, Mitt Romney being a Mormon, I think a lot of Mormons took that personally. Also, there was an ad that blew up a little stink, and wasn't a lot, but it blew up some stink, where and Donald Trump was very upset and tweeted out something on Twitter to Ted Cruz. But what it was, there's an ad that ran just in Utah, very religious, very conservative, the Mormons, and they had an ad, it's like a 30-second ad, that they took some pictures that had been rerun of a GQ spread of Donald Trump's wife back before they were married, back in the 90s when she did a nude photo shoot. And they ran that ad, and this was not Ted Cruz, but it was a PAC that's for Ted Cruz. So Ted Cruz and his team for president had nothing to do with it. But they ran an ad, and evidently I did not see it, but it showed a visual image of some nude layout of, and said, do you want this to be your new first lady? Well, you can have this, or you can vote for Ted Cruz. So Donald Trump got to the air on Twitter and threatened Cruz by saying, look, you know, stop this stuff, or I'm going to spill the beans on Mrs. Cruz and Heidi Cruz. And you know Heidi Cruz. You've heard her. Let's listen to her here once again, because this is why I like Heidi Cruz.
I'm Ted Cruz's wife, Senator Ted Cruz's wife, Heidi Cruz from Texas. And you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splittin' Politics.
Well, hey, you got to like Heidi Cruz when she can and talk about rock splitting politics right here of Doc Holliday. But let me tell you what happened. And I think Ted Cruz tweeted back, hey, you know, Donald, if you go after my wife, you're a bigger coward than I thought you were. But I think they left the spat sort of like that, unless something's blown up since we've taped the show. But I do think it's, you know, the wife shouldn't be involved. And that's something that the PAC, and again, when the candidates can't control a PAC, it makes it obtuse. It makes it a little bit out of balance. And so, no, let's keep the families out of this, the politicking. That's the best thing, best way I look at it and say. Now, listen, as we looked at Arizona and Trump did well, you know, Cruz went in there and campaigned, but Trump's mind is locked in, especially on his immigration issue. And what happened also was Utah went just tremendously for Ted Cruz. So where does that leave us? Well, we know Donald Trump is ahead by a couple hundred, about 250 delegates right now. Next vote is Wisconsin next week. Next Tuesday. So there's a week off from all the scurrying around and listening to the reports. So what's going to happen in Wisconsin? Well, I'll tell you this, Ted Cruz is getting his team on the ground and has got his ground game working hard in Wisconsin. Really and truly, for Ted Cruz, it's a must win. I mean, for him to be able to do any way of getting all the delegates before the convention, he has to win Wisconsin. Now, what's going on in this a couple weeks before the Wisconsin primary, the Republicans, will they consolidate around Ted Cruz? There could be a super amount of energy for Ted Cruz if Kasich got out, or even if he doesn't, if people make him irrelevant. But the Republicans who've said never Trump, no Trump, well, put your money where your mouth is. You know, get behind Ted Cruz. And I've said I'm for Ted Cruz, but I'm going to support the nominee. If it's Donald Trump, I'll get behind Donald Trump. We cannot have Hillary Clinton nominating Supreme Court justices. Our country cannot hold. We can take a licking, and under 8 years Obama, we've taken many shots and many a licking. Please, please, let's don't allow this country to get kicked under the radar screen by another Clinton. All right? But I have to tell you that for Ted Cruz to have any way of beating Donald Trump before the convention, which everybody says is almost impossible, but he has to win Wisconsin. Now, he can keep going and trying to keep Donald Trump from getting enough delegates, but for Ted Cruz to win outright, he has to win Wisconsin. So, interesting to see what goes on, and can the Republicans hold their nose, the ones who don't like Ted Cruz but don't want Donald Trump, will they hold their nose and get behind Ted Cruz? There could be an incredible amount of energy that no one has really thought hasn't been there to stop Donald Trump. But there could be a tremendous surge of energy for Cruz if people really consolidate. If all the people said they don't want Trump really got behind Ted Cruz, that means independents and others. And could put Ted Cruz in a position where he could start winning these states, even competing. If that really happened, then if he could win Wisconsin, everybody thinks Trump is a shoe-in in New York. Hey, but Ted Cruz with establishment Republicans behind him could make a run in New York, could he? Well, that's why you listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I just had to bring that up. Now, let me remind you, you are listening to Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. I want to take this time, and several months ago, I told you at the end of last year, we lost my good friend, Brad Saul, the founder and president of Web Talk Radio. What a great, great person. And it's still such a sadness that he's not here. He would have loved this campaign season. He loved politics. He loved people. And I just every week I look forward to talking to Brad and talking about the shows that we'd map out and what we would bring to you and what was the important part we need to get to you in 30 minutes. We only have 30 minutes each week to encapsulate all this energy and the news coming out, but what you need to know. So Brad was really a key person in teaching me and training me how to get to that message that you want to know about. So I miss Brad, but he would have loved this campaign. He loved it last fall with Trump getting involved and just seeing things get shook up. And I just have to tell you that I miss him. And I just want to take this opportunity to remind people what a brilliant person Brad Saul was, what he did when he put together Web Talk Radio, and just knew so much about radio. He loved radio. So I want to give that call out to Brad's family and just how important he is and still in the life of this rock-splitting politics show and what we bring to you each week, our listeners. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't love each and every one of you. I love reading your emails. You can keep sending those. And I do want to say we do have new listeners because it is a presidential election year, and we got new people listening to us. So thank you for listening. Tell your friends and neighbors. Send out the links. Rock Splitting Politics, as we help influence this country to get more freedom and more liberty. And it's a tough job, and we're working together to do it. Now, I did tell you, last week I got to go to Kansas City. My daughter had a convention out there that she wanted to go to, and part of her graduation present, I took her to that convention, and I had a day to kill myself. So what did I do? Well, I was in Kansas City, went out to Independence, Missouri, and went to the Harry S. Truman Presidential Library. Great, great experience for anybody. And if you're nearby and hadn't been there, go there. If you're ever in Kansas City, go to the Presidential Library, Harry S. Truman. But it reminded you of so much history. Now, this is a Democrat. This is a guy that was just ushered into the presidency really without a lot of preparation. When you go back and read the history and see how he got in politics, what got him in politics? Because he was recognized by some men in his area when he was a officer in the artillery in World War I. And it was some people who knew him from in Missouri said, hey, if you need a good judge, if somebody's honest and trustworthy, get Harry S. Truman. And that got him elected as sort of like a county judge. He went up from there, and he wanted to move on up and sort of the machine, the guy that controlled the political machine there in Missouri, didn't want him to, didn't have that position. But then later he shocked him and said, well, we need somebody to run for the United States Senate. And so Harry S. Truman got elected to the Senate, barely got it reelected 4 or 6 years later, barely got reelected when it came up for reelection. And then at the nominating convention in 1944 election year, FDR, they decided they couldn't quite trust Henry Wallace. Thank goodness, because remember, if you know your history, Henry Wallace, he was not a socialist. He's really a communist. I mean, a flat-out socialist communist, sort of much further along than Bernie Sanders even probably. But he was vice president. And so they decided they'd get somebody fresh and new, and they put Harry S. Truman, and Truman didn't want it. Truman was going to turn it down, and then they said, hey, for your country, your party, they're calling on you. So Harry Truman took it, and guess what? Just FDR was inaugurated, they had changed that, so they put the inauguration in January, and by, you know, just a couple months later, I think it's like 68 days later, Harry S. Truman's president of the United States in the middle of World War II. And, of course, it's toward the end of World War II. And he had to make a decision about the A-bomb, atomic bomb in Japan, a lot of things. But, you know, he said he didn't have a problem with that because he'd been in military, you know, been in battle. He'd fought. He was in World War I, he knew what the battle was like. And he knew what soldiers had to go through. And he had to make the call. And he did. And he wanted to end the war so millions of people, American soldiers, would not die. And I'm here telling you, I wouldn't be at this microphone today, possibly, because my dad, at 18 years old in 1945, he was surely would have been called on up into the military. He had seven brothers who were serving at this already in World War II. And they were getting ready to ship the ones that are in Europe over to the Pacific so that they could get ready for the invasion of Japan. And they were expecting high casualties. So the atomic bomb is the reason me and many others are probably around in America today, because my dad might not have made it. Who knows? But I'll just bring that in about the atomic bomb. And Harry S. Truman's, yes, as president, he said, the buck stops here. Wouldn't you like a president? Wouldn't you like our president now to be able to say the buck stops here instead of excuse after excuse after excuse, goes down to Cuba and does the wave with a murdering dictator? And when we've had murders in Brussels, Belgium, by ISIS, and the president of the United States is laughing and doing a wave with a murdering dictator, Raul Castro. It doesn't make sense. Harry S. Truman, they don't make him like him anymore, do they? We got to get on the show. But I just want to give you a little history lesson right there of Harry S. Truman. Go by the library if you're ever in Kansas City. I enjoyed it. I'd love to be able to tell you more about it, but it's time to move on. What happened after Brussels, Belgium? The ISIS terrorists came in, three bombers. We know two of them in the airport, blew up in the airport, and another, and there was brothers, one of the brothers in the airport, another was on the metro, the subway, and blew up the station there coming in close to where the European Union meets. So it was a direct sign that, hey, we can hit you right at the heart of the European Union, not far from the American embassy. So a lot of detail going in, trying to figure out all that went on. But we do know there's a guy at large that was a picture of three in the airport. Two of them are suicide bombers. The third one, either he chickened out or he was there just to help walk them through it. We don't know, but he's on the run. And hopefully by the time you hear this program, I hope they've caught him. I don't know. We don't know what's going on. But there was a lot of talk about that got involved with our politics and the race for the president of the United States. Take a listen to what Ted Cruz had to say.
In the wake of Brussels, we don't need another lecture from President Obama on Islamophobia. We need a commander-in-chief who does everything necessary to defeat.
And Ted Cruz went on to say that there should be more police patrols in Muslim areas and Muslim communities with more surveillance and looking out and checking out what's going on. And did that bring a firestorm from the president of the United States? Take a listen to what President Obama had to say about Ted Cruz's method of trying to keep America safe.
This is difficult work. It's not because we don't have the best and the brightest working on it. It's not because we are not taking the threat seriously. It is because it's challenging to find, identify very small groups of people who are willing to die themselves and can walk into a crowd and detonate a bomb. As far as the notion of having surveillance of neighborhoods where Muslims are present, I just left a country that engages in that kind of neighborhood surveillance, which, by the way, the father of Senator Cruz escaped for America, the land of the free. The notion that we would start down that slippery slope makes absolutely no sense. It's contrary to who we are. And it's not going to help us defeat ISIL.
The crazy thing about Obama saying this about Senator Cruz is Senator Cruz was talking about in a program that was going on in New York when the CIA was working with the New York Police Department, and it happened all the way up to 2011 under President Barack Obama. So why in the world would he get so upset about Ted Cruz bringing this up when he did it himself for about 3 years? So you know, what gives? But, of course, Hillary Clinton had to get her say in, and Donald Trump was tough on this. Let's play and hear what they had to say. Then we'll finish up the show, and I'll tell you about some things to look forward to in the coming days.
And even though ISIS has not formally claimed responsibility, this is an act of coordinated terrorism, whether it could have been put together within the 4 days that he was arrested or whether it was in the planning and he was part of the planning, we have to determine. But this is going to require a real upping of our security cooperation, not only in our own country among all levels of authorities, but also with Europeans. And there has to be some honest reckoning about what works and what doesn't work.
It's Doc Holliday here. I got to cut in. I don't think I need a lecture from Hillary Clinton about what works and what doesn't work when it comes to ISIS. She's the one that messed everything up in Libya. It's still a basket case. 4 Americans dead, including our ambassador in Benghazi. We still don't know what all happened there. We don't get all the facts, all the records. And I just have to tell you that Hillary Clinton has got the worst case effort of anybody that wants to be president, because her track record as Secretary of State is nauseating of what it's done for America. And so, no, I'm not going to listen to her. But let's listen to Donald Trump and see what he had to say.
Well, it would mean specifically that we would strengthen up our borders, would be very careful who we allow into our country. Our country has got a lot of problems. We have a lot of people in our country right now that probably and definitely have the same feelings and the same feeling of hate as the people in Brussels. You know, George, I was in Brussels many times over the years, and it used to be a safe and beautiful city, and then it really changed. And I want to tell you now, it's like an armed camp. Anybody that goes there will tell you it's like an armed camp. And I'm talking about before this morning's brutal attack. It was a horrible attack. And Brussels is different, and Paris is different, and lots of places are different, and the police don't have control of it anymore, and it's a very sad thing to see what's happening. Well, I'd be hitting ISIS so hard, and I was not in favor of Iraq, and I was not in favor of a lot of things, but with ISIS, with the chopping off of the heads, and this is ISIS-related, of course, but with the chopping off of the heads and what's going on, the brutality, you've got to hit ISIS so hard and you've got to take them out and not play tiddlywinks like we're playing right now. And again, we've already spent probably $4 trillion in the Middle East, and we have to rebuild our own country. And we've spent so many lives and so much money in the Middle East now, it's so sad to see what's happened. And frankly, it's worse now than it was 15 years ago when we started. Absolutely worse. If we wouldn't have done anything, it would have been better now. If our presidents would have gone to the beach and taken it easy, the Middle East would be in better shape than it is right now.
Well, Donald Trump is shedding some true light on there. $4 trillion all these years later, and the Middle East is a mess because we've had a vacuum of American power. George W. Bush left everything in pretty good position there in Iraq and Afghanistan. Not great, but it was something that could be built on, a piece that could be held together. And yet President Barack Obama, with his Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, made a mess. They ignored ISIS. They ignored what happened in Benghazi. They went ahead and got rid of Gaddafi in Libya. And I have to tell you, all that worked for ISIS to grow and metastasize like a cancer. And when they could have taken it out when it was small, President Obama called it a JV team. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton did a reset with Russia. They kept their eyes going on in Ukraine because Putin took over the Ukraine. Excuse me, not the Ukraine, took over Crimea and caused battles in the Ukraine and still contentious there. But what was going on with ISIS? They were allowed to grow and to multiply and to gain ground. Not only ground, they took over thousands of vehicles and weapons and ammunition that we had given to Iraq, and Iraq ran away, the soldiers of Iraq, and just handed them over. Why didn't, and they got American tanks. Why didn't our Air Force go in there and just blow them up instead of giving all these American vehicles to ISIS? Stupid decisions were made. Indecisions. They could have blown the things up instead of letting ISIS have them to transport the terrorists, to transport the way and means of having an economy and transporting, using trucks even to transport the oil, to get the oil business going and make their money. We assisted them in so many ways instead of destroying them when we had a chance with a small. And now what do we do? Well, I don't think this president's going to do much of anything. He's just going to pass it on to the next president. And that's why you got to hear what each person would say. And it's part of the campaign. And I can say this, what we're looking for is someone who can stand up to Hillary Clinton, and it can be Cruz, or it can be Trump, but tell her she's wrong when it comes to protecting America, and that's what they've been saying. Now the American people need to hear and put some pressure on the Democrats. They said Hillary Clinton almost said Islamic terrorist, but she went with the terrorist jihadist, and you know she's getting closer to putting it in the mouth to say Islamic terrorist. But one thing we need to know, that this campaign will go on. Doc Holliday's keeping his eyes on Wisconsin. You need to also do that. We need to be looking. New York will be coming up very soon. And that could, and everybody counts it in Donald Trump's court. Could Ted Cruz really build up some momentum in the next couple of weeks? We're watching. And next week, we'll tell you more about that. Along with Phyllis Schlafly, the a conservative icon. She'll be on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics next week, and I'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.